Hello and welcome everybody to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything that nerdy happened in the week in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. This is a special edition of the Nerdy Boys Podcast presenting Logan. So, spoiler warning, if you've not watched it, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun. Yeah. Along with that, explicit content warning. We may be cussing. We're going to try not to, but you've been warned. So, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And dudettes.
We're also live on Facebook.
Yes.
So, if you guys are watching us, you can watch us. And if you're not, I don't know, tweet us some questions if you're out there, you know.
Who is that?
Who's who?
Larry.
Curse.
Who is that?
He said curse.
Curse?
Yes.
Do it? I don't know. Fuck off, Larry. What up, bro? We're going to be podcasting about Logan today. So, yeah, if you don't want to hear about Logan, bro, because you don't want it spoiled for you, you better, you know, tune out. You've been warned, bro. So, yeah, what's going on, bro? How you doing?
You know, good, good. You know, just over here monitoring the chat and stuff.
Legit, legit. So, if you guys didn't know, Logan came out this week. And, of course, you know the Nerdy Boys went and seen that shit. So, yeah. What'd you think, bro?
It was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
More than just a great superhero movie. I don't know if it's necessarily a superhero movie. It is
definitely a movie
based on a comic book.
But, well, isn't that what they're all?
Yeah, yeah. But beyond being a superhero film, it was a great film in general.
Yeah, yeah. It was very different from what Marvel usually does with all of their films. Usually, you know, everybody criticizes Marvel for being, you know, too upbeat, you know, too one-liners and whatnot. But this movie was a different animal. I mean, and to be fair, you know, created by a different studio, not the MCU, created by Fox. You know, just to get that out of the way. And
yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised. You know, I didn't have high expectations for this movie. I didn't think it was going to be, you know, badass or anything. And it blew me away, to be honest.
To be honest, we both thought this movie was going to be absolute garbage.
I think that's just the plan, guys. Like, so if you just go into a movie and expect it to be garbage, it's probably not going to be garbage.
Well, after the second trailer, we were pretty hyped for it.
Yeah.
More so. But, you know, still, like, we still had our reservations because, again, this is Fox, you know.
Yeah.
Deadpool was great because it was Deadpool and because Fox, you know, was kind of kicked in the teeth about it, not necessarily from their creative control, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, this movie was its own monster in a way, you know, like, and it makes you ask a lot of questions about the future of Marvel films at Fox and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So just to kind of preface, you know, what Christian just said right there, this movie is set like 15 years or 12 years into the future.
Yeah, 2029.
Yeah, so yeah, 12 years into the future. And there's a lot of things that happen during the movie, you know, where they talk about specific events as to, you know, what kind of altered them as a person.
Right.
And it makes you wonder if they're going to use kind of like the Star Wars sort of formula with that, you know, and like, you know, set the stage and then go back and then, you know, eventually make a movie about what happened there.
Yeah. Larry says, compared to Wolverine Origins, how was it?
Oh, dude. I mean, I fucking hated that movie. So, I mean, leaps and bounds.
A 10, and that movie was a 2.
Okay. So put it this way, Larry. I know you absolutely love Deadpool. It was very, very close to Deadpool. I mean, on one hand, Logan is like completely like a darker movie compared to Deadpool, but nonetheless, a great film.
Yeah.
You know, Deadpool was more or less laughs and stuff like that. You know, the quirkiness.
This was more of a serious film. Back to what you were saying, though. I don't think they'll necessarily, you know, show what happened in that 12 years because I think they kind of explained most of it.
In a way, they did. But a lot of it, it's kind of like open to interpretation, open to you know, let the audience kind of figure out what happens.
Well, I guess. But we know how the X-Men or mutants were kind of eliminated.
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, we know because, you know, we read different comic books. But, you know, to our average listener that doesn't read these comic books,
well,
I mean...
they explained it, you know, in the film through, like, Xander Rice essentially killed them through water and food and things like that to attack the gene. That was explained in the film.
Yeah, but they don't go into, because, you know, often they introduce this this event of the... where's my phone at? Sorry. The Winchester?
The Westchester.
Yes,
incident.
Westchester.
In this film, that was Xavier having an episode, and it ended up killing a bunch of mutants and injuring like 700 people.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, there's a lot that happens in this movie. What's going on with this program of ours?
Who is that? It's just slow. Who's who?
What does that say?
That says do it. That's Larry.
I don't know.
He said, curse, do it, LMFAO, yay, because you said shit at some point earlier.
Oh, sick,
then,
bro.
Yeah, and then he asked about Origins.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, Leaps and Bounds better than Origins, for sure.
And like, if you like Deadpool that much, you probably hated Origins as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so basically this, all right, kind of going to like what the movie was about.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes. So this film, obviously, we said 12 years in the future. There are very few mutants left that, like, so we know of Xavier, Wolverine, and Caliban. And then this company ran by Xander Rice, uh-huh. who's this crazy genius.
He's also the son of, I don't know his name, but something Rice that gave... Wolverine his powers.
He helped. Yeah. It's not Stryker. People who are saying it's Stryker, shut up. He didn't change his last name all of a sudden, all right? So his company essentially eliminated most mutants and then made their own through genetics, through the genetics of mutants. So we're set in this time now where Wolverine doesn't, He doesn't have any purpose really in life. He's just trying to get away, him and Xavier. He has Xavier locked up, so he doesn't have an episode and kill anybody else.
Yeah, and Xavier has extreme, like dementia, sort of.
Yeah, like a degenerative brain disease. Yeah. Like, we don't know what it is exactly, but he has seizures.
Yeah.
So, when he has seizures, his brain, you know, is super powerful, so...
He essentially shuts other people down.
Yeah.
And they can die from it, you know, given an exposed amount of time.
Yeah. So... essentially, the plot of the film, I guess, is Wolverine comes in contact with this woman who has this kid and needs him to take her because this other group of people wants her to... They want to kill her, essentially.
Yeah.
Because she was a malfunction or whatever. A failed experiment, as they say.
Because they couldn't quite control them.
Yeah, and Wolverine's jaded from all his long life and doesn't want to do it and fights against it the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you also find out that, you know... Logan is her father technically because they used his DNA to
impregnate a woman essentially, and thus was born Laura Kinney. Who isn't given a last name,
which is different from X-23's
origin
because she's actually a clone.
Yeah.
Later dubbed like the daughter of Logan, which you know is very different from you know just using impregnation methods or whatever. But in my opinion, it kind of loosely follows. It makes it more real. It makes it you know gives you like that human connection to it all.
Yeah. See, I went back to the angry side or the too fanboyish side of myself when they changed their origin because you know. I knew like you would disagree with me on this, like it's not that big of a deal, right? Because it's a movie. It's different than from the comics. They're obviously gonna change things, blah blah blah. But I seem to remember you getting super mad that Civil War had nothing to do with Civil War.
There's a difference between changing like an action of an origin and changing a story completely and just slapping the title on it.
Well, I mean it kinda was a Civil War, but it wasn't Civil War from the comics.
Yeah, but like they literally changed it from her just being a clone to she was still created from his DNA. See how like that's like a very blurred line. Obviously two very different things, but at the same time, it's so close in connection where I feel like they're just trying to hit the more realism aspect of it all. And that's what my takeaway is for it. It doesn't necessarily, you know, subtract anything from the movie and doesn't, you know, do anything for me. You know,
no, yeah,
necessarily.
So,
I think it's just, I think, I feel like where you fall on this subject is more or less, you're a really big fan of X-23. So yeah. It's very hard to, take yourself away from that fanboy aspect and sorts when you're so attached to a character and you know exactly how or what their origin is. And if they change something about it, it's going to be very hard for you to distance yourself from it and realize that it's really not that different. And it's not even a big deal. It doesn't change anything about her character.
No, no. And what's so important to do for everybody, including myself, is you have to realize there are multiple ways of looking at things, but you have to look at this film in the context of the film. Obviously, as fans, we draw on all these outside sources, and we think about where do we go from here and all this other stuff based on comic books, but this film is its own living story within itself. So you have to look at the frame of the story and kind of view that instead of like drawing on all this extra textual stuff, which can enhance your ability to enjoy the film, but don't let it detract from it because it is its own story. So,
yeah. So what do you think about the whole idea of basically, you know, after whatever had happened in their past, it jaded, you know, Wolverine so much that basically he wants to die, and he carries around an adamantium bullet in order to try and kill himself eventually. I think once Xavier passed on, I feel like that was like the unspoken stipulation. Yeah. That's when he'll kill
himself. He was just alive to make sure Charles was alive, essentially.
What do you think about that?
I think it makes sense. It's Wolverine kind of coming to the end of things. You know, he's so old, you know, his healing factor slowing, he's suffering, he's poisoned, essentially.
Yeah, and it feels like he's done so much awful things in life that he feels like he almost doesn't deserve to live.
Right.
You know, and that's part of the unspoken, you know, events of what happened. And it makes you wonder. And that's what honestly makes such a great film, is when you can take and enjoy what it does, but it also makes you want to have more and begs more questions.
Oh,
you
know? I mean, this film brought on a number of questions about this film and other films, you know, like where do we go from here and things like that, and like how did we get here and all these questions. And that's one of the great strengths of this film, is it makes you think. It makes you want to look forward and look back and all this other stuff. And I think that's one of the great driving forces behind this film. Like, it's unbelievable what this film was able to accomplish, to be honest, within the scope of it. You know, we have a future, you know, now with these kids that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. But it is... Did you view this as a passing of the torch?
Yes. Yes, I did. I definitely did. Especially like the way it ended, you know, with Wolverine dying, of course, and, you know, no big deal. You know, you understand. And we obviously know that Hugh Jackman has come out and said many times that this is his last film. He does not want to assume the role any longer. And, you know, what a perfect send off. What, you know, just such an iconic, I feel like, moment in, you know, comic book movie history that we just witnessed. And this movie, I feel like, with time to come, will almost have set a bar for many other movies to try and follow suit. And, you know, because it was like really the first. So like we've had darker, you know, comic book movies. I mean, no, outside of what, you know, DC does. I'm talking about Marvel primarily. you've had like really dark stuff, you know. Civil War was not a very light movie, obviously. And, you know, Winter Soldier. But I feel like this was just a different level of darkness. It was gritty. It was grimy. It was action-packed.
It was like a Western thriller, like, kind of film, you know. Like, there was so much there beyond, like I said, beyond a superhero film. There was, like, the setting, the scenes. Like, they said the F-word about 70 times in this movie.
Yeah, so that's something that kind of, you know, talking about the F-word and stuff, you know, I knew we would get to it eventually. I very much remember when we seen the Red Band trailer, you know, Charles Xavier going off and cussing and whatnot. And I felt like I was so angry about this, you know, and I didn't think about this possibility, which, you know, we had mentioned, you know, he has a brain disease, you know, assumingly dementia more than likely. And you know, that's something we had never considered. And we're like, wow, why is Charles Xavier cussing? Like, that's so out of character.
Right.
That's not something like his character would really fall to. I feel like he was always, you know, because you think about Charles Xavier, he's like the iconic picture of like nobility, really.
Yeah.
And like grace, essentially. And, you know, then you see it in this framework and you're like, oh, wow, maybe they're pushing that rated R rating a little too much. But then you see it in the context of this and it's like it deals with so many like realistic life problems. Yeah. I felt like and it was a roller coaster of a movie. You know what I mean? It was very intense. That's one of the best descriptions I could really use for this movie. It was an intense movie.
Yeah.
Like it dealt with, you know, like forgiveness. It dealt with, you know, mortality and coming to grips with that, you know, doing for others. It dealt with so many life lessons, I felt like. Yeah. And that's something comic books, you know, we've talked about many, many, many times on this podcast. You know, what comic books aim to do at times.
Well, specifically X-Men.
Yeah, exactly. Really for X-Men. X-Men has
always been a driving force for the fight for different things. Like
diversity.
Spider-Man has always been about, you know, moral life obligations and things like that, you know. But X-Men has been about, you know, diversity and things like that. Like they all kind of handle things in a different way and, you know. Fantastic Four always looked to the future. X-Men always looked to the present and what is happening and what has happened. And
yeah. So, all right. Outside of the origin of X-23, what did you think of X-23?
She was brilliant. Like
I have to agree, man.
The amount that actress, this young actress, was amount to accomplish with no words. Like, just like her tones, facial expressions, her eyes, everything. Like
the intensity. Oh, man.
She barely said a word until
grunting
like,
and yelling
the last 30 minutes of the film. Like
exactly,
and accomplished so much. Like you knew who that character was from the second you saw her. And that scene where she's sitting there eating cereal and these guys walk in, and she's just like, "You guys know I'm gonna murder you." Like there's absolutely like you could see it in her face. There's absolutely no chance for them.
She's gonna be a star. Let me tell you, her presence in that movie was incredible. I was afraid, you know, of a little girl taking on, you know, a big role within our confines of our, you know, world of nerd and comics and everything. That X-23 is a big role to assume for, you know, a child, you know, and I was afraid that they're going to make the character too cheesy, you know, too childlike, I feel like.
Or too, like, annoying, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And they managed to capture every part of X-23, I felt like.
Yeah, and you guys have to remember, like, for those of you who don't read comics or don't know who this is, some of you may have never heard of this X-23 or Laura Kinney before, but you have to realize, to us, this is Wolverine now. She is actual Wolverine at this moment in comic books. So, yeah. That's how important she is to fans.
Yeah.
So, I thought everything about her was amazing. The actress, Daphne Keene. What a debut for films, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt at all, man. Incredible. So let's get to the first death, right? So we have, you know, arguably one of the biggest characters in the Marvel Universe, Charles Xavier, dying.
Yes.
To X-24, which is, you know, just presumably, you know, not reading too much, and just a deranged clone of Wolverine.
Yes.
And, you know, he's standing over his bed and, you know, he leans in and Charles, you know, in his, you know, dementia sort of state, he actually looks at him and, you know, just sees Logan.
Yeah.
He doesn't really realize it's not him. And then, like, he just extracts his claws and just stabs him right through the fucking heart.
Yeah,
and
where, like, oh. And this is where, like, Charles is remembering what he did in the Westchester incident and everything and, you know, feeling this remorse for it and admitting it to Logan. He's like, I know why this has all happened now. I know why you kept me there and all this stuff. And then he just gets straight murdered.
Yeah, it was just so depressing.
And X-24, I guess, is a character we need to discuss, right?
Yes. So X-24, right? There can obviously be some rumors of what it is, you know, and we'll never know until, you know, the writers, directors, you know, produce, somebody at Marvel comes out and says who it is. Obviously, you know, it is a long bounds and lead stretch, and I've already seen it, you know, from some people online saying that it's Daken. It's not Daken,
not
guys.
And
I don't,
he died in this film.
Yeah, and he died in the film. Like, I don't think they would just do a Daken throwaway just to do it, for one. Two, Daken is an actual person. He was not bioengineered by scientists. He's an actual person. He's actually Logan's son.
Yeah, you remember that Asian girl that he had sex with in the last Wolverine movie?
Yes.
That's Daken's mom.
Yes, that is Daken's mom. That was eventually in the comic books, Wolverine's wife, and she died.
Yes.
You know, and it's not Dakin, guys. What it could be is, you know, in the comic books, you know, obviously they've been trying to clone Wolverine for such a long time.
And, yeah.
Really, well, you know, one time, you know, he was a zombie kind of clone or whatever. I don't really, you know, I don't know. I just think it's going to be a point where people are trying to think, okay, is it actually somebody from comics? No, I don't really think so, guys. No. I think it was just a clone.
So this is another thing where, like, people like me have to separate ourselves from our comic book knowledge, because if you read and know X-23's origin, you know that male clones of Wolverine never lived. And that's why there was a female clone.
Yes.
They tried to make male clones, and then they realized that they would die because they were missing that Y chromosome, as they called it, which is the female chromosome, obviously. So that's why they made a female clone, and that thus was Laura Kinney. She was the 23rd attempt. That's why she's X-23. So they wouldn't try to make another male attempt after that, because male clones don't live.
Well, I mean, but they kind of explained it. Within the movie, it worked, you know, because they had said, you know, we figured out what the problem was.
Yeah.
You know, they don't go into it because, you know, going into it, you know, DC, it's like another half hour of the movie up. And who has time to, you know, listen to that?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Comic book fans have to separate themselves from that knowledge.
I agree.
It works within the frame of this film. It doesn't work within the continuity of comics. But no Marvel film will.
They're
their own stories. They're just based on those. So.
Somebody say something?
No. Daniel Taranishi joined.
Oh, hero. Oh, he left already.
Oh, you left?
Yeah, he's not here anymore. What up, bruh? Just a quick pause, though. Like we said in the beginning, we are on Facebook Live right now. Obviously, unless you guys already liked our Nerdy Boys Reviews page, you won't get to, you know, watch the live podcast. But it's just another reason to be following us on our social media. You know, Facebook obviously gives us Facebook Live. Instagram obviously gives us Instagram Live. But our Periscope account is directly uploaded to Twitter. So make sure you guys are following all us on all of our social media, so you guys have the chance to interact with us live on a podcast where we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
And it just becomes a good time like that. You know, just wanted to give a quick plug right there.
Yeah. So
hashtag
back to X-24, how did he work for you?
It worked just fine. I felt like it was good, and in the way that it tied into Xavier's death was brilliant. I feel like, cause it almost looked like a shocked, expression, not really realizing like that's not Logan.
You know?
Almost feel like, you know, but he lived long enough to realize it. But I mean, I think it worked. I don't have any problems with him necessarily. What did you think? First off, what did you think about X-24 in the confines of the movie? And what did you think about the Reavers?
I thought X-24 worked in this film. I mean, he gave you some great action sequences, of course.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, and he worked. He was necessary in the story, I think. The Absolutely. Reavers, I thought most of them were just lame. I liked...
Underwhelming.
Yeah. I liked the main Reaver.
Yes. Donald Pierce,
yes. I thought he was very good. He was very charismatic from his first appearance on screen to throughout the whole movie. I liked him. I think the actor did a great job with him as well.
Which brings me just a quick side note. So throughout the movies, they keep showing these two comic books, X-Men comic books, and it shows Eden, the place that they're going in the movie for the safe haven, and respectively, issue 117, which is the first time Xavier comes up with the idea of the human mutant relationship kind of ordeal, where he's going, that's his mission in life kind of deal. And then 132 is the first fight between Logan and Donald Pierce, which obviously plays a relevant factor inside of the movie, you know, being, you know, Donald Pierce is like our main antagonist in the movie. He's like our main villain, pretty much.
Yeah, I feel like this film had many villains. I feel like, to be honest, Wolverine's greatest antagonist in this film was himself.
Absolutely. That is a very strong statement. I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like that's what a lot of the conflict was driven by Wolverine's own antagonism, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like the Reavers as a whole worked. They served their purpose.
Yeah. So basically the way I kind of, because we had conversation outside of the podcast, of course, And the way I kind of explained it to Christian is that basically you think about every major kind of organization within Marvel, they're endless. You think of, you know, for instance, Hydra. It's never ending. Yeah. Same with these other organizations. They just have henchmen and minions galore. They're just going to keep throwing everything they have at you. And obviously, Donald Pierce is the spearhead of it all. And, you know, they can't just kill him off and then, you know, just keep sending out, like, other ones. They need that main vocal one and then the people that follow him.
Well, to be
fair, he's kind of like their leader.
They killed Donald Pierce and they killed Xander Rice. They just killed everyone in this movie.
It's okay because it was the final Logan movie.
Yes.
It was supposed to be staggering. It was supposed to be intense and it's supposed to give you that wow factor. All of those things, check.
Yes. The comic book with Eden in it was made especially for this movie. Yes. But yeah, there were those other two as well. So here's a question, right? So they're all trying to get into Canada to this safe haven.
Uh-huh.
So why would they be safe there?
Well, I mean, we don't know, but it begs the question. So there must be other mutants. There must be other things.
There's
people.
Clearly like the Reavers clearly have no regard for border laws. Like they're going to go to Canada if they want, you know, they're going to kill who they want and do what they want. So, I mean, they can follow them across the border into the safe haven.
Well, they could, but it seemed almost as that there would be an opposition to them that they don't feel confident in facing.
Right.
So maybe other mutants alike, you know, where they provide a safe haven for mutants to come. Who knows? I don't know particularly. And, you know, that's part of the mystical factor of the movie. It begs more questions. Where do we go from here? What happened before the movie? What's going to happen after the movie? All these things happen.
So I guess the last character, I guess, to talk about within this film is Caliban, right?
Yeah, what did you think about him?
I liked him.
He was cool.
He was an X-Men Apocalypse, if you guys remember. He was where Psylocke went, like he was that guy. He's also been in the comic books involved with the Morlocks, and we know we're getting a show that's pretty much focusing on the Morlocks.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see him there. Probably not, but one can hope.
One could hope.
No, I thought he was great. Like he also helped Logan. You know, he helped.
He was essentially a plot tool for me.
He was the audience, right? The audience's voice, you know, like, hey, what are you doing? are you doing, guy? Like, why are you behaving like this? Like, you know, so I thought he was kind of like our connection to Logan in a way. We don't really need help being connected to Logan, but I thought he worked. And then, you know, his suicide kind of, you know, sacrificing himself. I thought that was really nice as well. But let's be honest, when that family was introduced, you knew they were all going to die.
Oh, yeah. But nonetheless, it was still, like, rather sad, you know?
That was...
Last thing to talk about, really, Logan dying.
Yeah.
That was just, you know, just another intense movie.
Yeah.
I mean, an intense scene.
Right.
The thing I could say the most about it, really, is that it was the perfect grandstand for, you know, a send-off, really. It was that pinnacle moment where you know he's dead for sure. He's not coming back. I mean, we know that outside of the movie as well. And you get that feeling inside the movie. And it just makes it that much more emotional. It makes it a very sad moment in movie history.
Yeah. It was sad. Like, the first time I saw it, like, I didn't tear up or anything during any parts of the movie. But this time watching it, I did more so. You know, like... And, like, that little girl is so good.
Like, dude. She made the scene even better.
Yeah.
And just the way he went out is just, like, very graceful. He finally came around and started understanding what Xavier was trying to tell him all this time of how to live and how to enjoy his life and what perspective to take and stuff. And right at the end, the very last moment, he really does take all that in. And he's like, I finally understand. And he dies, and it was just so sad. It was just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then, of course, Laura taking the cross and making it an X.
Yes.
Which, obviously, you know, it's powerful. And there were just so many subtleties in this film as well. Like small things that are easy to miss.
His dog tags.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was packed. Like when he fell asleep and he was holding the animanium bullet and she took it.
Yeah.
Like, that speaks volumes, you know? It's like... She acts like, you know, like she doesn't need him and she doesn't care about him. But, like, that's a sign of, like, love, you know? Like, I'm not going to let you kill yourself.
Yeah.
So, it all worked very, very well. So, I guess the question is now, where do we go from here?
So, okay, moving forward, I think we get maybe X-Force. This is the point in where X-Force, I really feel like, it comes together fully. Because, you know, we've had so much momentum talking about X-Force over the last several months. And then you get, like, you know, a mainstay character within X-Force. I mean, so...
Are we to assume that it will take place in the future? Or are we going to see some kind of time travel with...
I feel like time travel.
Cable.
Here. More than likely time travel, and that's where Deadpool could come in. And kind of connect all this together. Because Richter, like the kid leader of the group,
yeah.
Is actually an original member of the X-Force group.
Yes.
What was I going to say?
I don't know what you were going to say. But yeah, we were talking about moving on from here and the X-Force. And I think you were going to talk about all the kids.
Oh, one of the other kids is Christopher Bradley, an electrically powered mutant. In the comics, who appeared in X-Men Origins and was part of Colonel Stryker's Team X, was that, you know?
Yeah, you guys will remember him as the kid everybody laughed at when he was running.
Yes.
Because he looked like the Muffin Man.
The little fat boy.
Who lived on Cherry Lane. No. But yeah. So you think X-Force and you think we'll do some kind of time travel thing, yes?
Yeah, I do.
For you guys who don't know, which everybody should know by now because it's been publicly released, there was a Deadpool teaser where they made fun of Superman. And the phone booth said Nathan Summers is coming. For you guys who maybe don't know the name Nathan Summers, that is Cable. There are also, you know, little different things. There are Firefly posters and the such, so that was cool.
Yeah.
And the old man who was killed is Stanley. He's played by Stanley. That was his cameo in this film, essentially. So,
the old man.
Yeah. In the teaser for Deadpool, the old guy who shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was Stanley. So.
I didn't even notice.
Is this going to be Fox's thing now? Is this what's going to differentiate them? Is making R-rated movies? And if so, are they going to do that with films like X-Men and Fantastic Four? Or are they going to.
No.
Yeah, they don't lend themselves to that.
No, I think X-Men could potentially be that way, but I mean, I just think Logan and Deadpool works within that framework, and
yeah.
You know, maybe like Cable, Bishop sort of characters,
yeah,
could definitely work in that sort of framework. But I don't feel like people, you know, like Jean Grey, Scott Summers, you know, Nightcrawler, you know, and other, you know, X-Men, you know, so on and so forth. I don't think they really lend themselves to that R-rated nature.
Yeah, they don't.
You know.
But this is what's been Fox's workhorse, I guess, right? This is what's making them money, is these rated R films. Deadpool and now Logan, which had a huge opening as well.
Yeah, so, like $30 million.
Yeah, like the first day.
Yes,
Friday night. And if you guys remember, last week, the big movie was Get Out. Over the weekend, it made that much.
Yeah.
So, no surprise here.
I fully expect it to almost peak at like $100 million during the weekend. I don't necessarily think it might eclipse 100 million, but
you think it'll make the same or more close than Deadpool?
How much did Deadpool make?
800 million worldwide.
Oh, worldwide?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Over the run of it.
No. I don't think it nearly has the rewatch factor that Deadpool has.
Yeah, this movie is a little too heavy, you know?
Yeah. It's a movie where you have to watch it and then like take a break.
But what they did do very well is they balanced the violence and the, you know, like just straight gore with comedy very well, I think.
Well, okay, let me rephrase that. The way I said it, I feel like it makes it sound like you can't rewatch this film.
No, you can.
Obviously you can. But like,
but you have to prepare yourself mentally for it. Like you this movie makes you think a lot. It makes you
feel a lot.
Like Deadpool is just like, ha-ha.
So hilarious. Like, I only watch this tomorrow night, too.
Like, the only part, like, imagine just rewatching the scene in Logan where he's beating the shit out of his truck for 2 hours. That's Deadpool.
Yeah, pretty much. So, what else can we really talk about in this movie? I mean, is there anything else?
Within this movie, not really. Like, we pretty much covered everything. There was a lot. There is still a lot, you know, and we'll probably have to rewatch it again and again to get all of that. But
yeah, we had planned to have Daniel, if you guys have listened to our podcast before. Daniel's been on a podcast, our resident racist around here and bigot. So, you know, we had planned to have him on the podcast tonight. Didn't quite work out. He had to leave. You know, we do plan on revisiting this maybe in a couple weeks when we have some time.
Yeah.
But yeah, until then, I mean, this is what we really have for you guys. You know, I do hope you guys enjoyed our discussion today. We do still have to grade it. So what sort of grading, number grade or letter grades, do you think we should go with this?
I would do the number grade.
Number grade? All right. I would give this, I don't know, 9.9.
Really, really.
Yeah.
I give it a 9.6.
A 9.6? What lowers it for you?
For me, it's just like, you know, being left wondering, like, you know, what happens when they cross the border? What's the importance of that? Things like that.
Yeah, I guess they could have at least let us see the safe haven, more or less. But that, you know, I feel like that's the great mark of a writer, you know, essentially almost like a cliffhanger. I know you don't. You hate cliffhangers. You know, but I felt like it was a fully resolved movie. Everything that it set out to accomplish, it did.
Yeah.
You know, but the opposite spectrum of that, it leaves you wanting more. It leaves you with questions, and not in the bad way.
Yeah, I don't feel like the ending was a cliffhanger. Like it does leave you like wondering, well, what happens to these kids now? But the story was resolved. The full story was resolved.
Yes.
You know, like it didn't start a new story at the end. Like,
yeah.
You just kind of like, for me, I just like wonder, well, what is so safe about the safe haven? Like, obviously, maybe I'm just greedy and wanting to know more.
Yes,
wanting to
know. You're just a greedy little prick.
It's very possible. But yeah, let's put this on our list, though.
No. First, you know, we're going to have to rename you to the Nerdy Boy Greed. Little McGreedy Boys.
Yeah, that's possible.
God, this movie gave you so much, and you just want more. It can't provide you with more, Christian, because it's over.
Okay, so I guess there's only one or two spots we can put this on the list of Fox films, because it's Deadpool and then X-Men. So is it... It's better than X-Men.
Obviously.
Better to you, or is it... Do you like this movie more or less than Deadpool?
It's so hard for me because, like, we had this discussion already, and it's apples and oranges to me, you know? You can always compare comic book movies in a way.
Yeah.
But the tones are so completely different. It was like our discussion of Winter Soldier. Is it a better comic book movie, or is Deadpool a better comic book movie? We couldn't decide because they were so vastly different. And I agree with that. I think they're so vastly different. Similar. Okay. Very, you know, out there in rating and very strong, intense stuff happening.
Yes.
But just the nature of the film, Deadpool is funny. You know, you're breaking the fourth wall. You know, you don't have any of that stuff in Logan. Does it make it a worse movie?
No.
It's more intense. It's, you know, you have more feelings within the movie. Does that make Deadpool a worse movie? No, it doesn't. Honestly, it's so hard that I don't know. Like,
I feel like simply because of, like you said, this movie isn't rewatchable. It is obviously a rewatchable film, but I think because of the rewatch quality of Deadpool, like, you can just watch it forever, whenever. It goes above Logan.
Yeah. And okay, so it'd be like the same instance of, you know, you have a, you know, a 100-yard dash, right? Or like the 100-meter run or whatever it's called. And you have like two racers neck and neck and one like barely like inches over the finish line before.
Yeah.
And that's really how this is. That's how close this is, guys. And I hope you do understand like the magnitude of that. It was not, you know, I really don't feel like one was leaps and bounds better than the other. Like, they were just so apples and oranges to each other that it's hard to, you know, just pick like a decisive winner. Like, this one was obviously the winner. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I think I would have to give the little centimeter edge to Deadpool just for that rewatchability factor that you could literally watch the movie every single day. I feel like you cannot watch Logan every single day just because of the heavy nature of it.
Right.
Not to say, you know, some people could, but I mean, hey.
Yeah.
You
so
know, to each is his own.
Where then would it go on our top 10 list? Because it's in the top 10 of
like
all
top
time.
Three.
So, top three. Three right now is Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that gets moved to number four for sure. For sure, without a doubt.
So
one of
Logan,
the greatest comic book movies ever made.
Gotcha. So our top 10 then at this point will look like one Deadpool tied for number one. So second, Captain America Winter Soldier. Three, Logan. Four would be Doctor Strange. Five would be Watchmen. Six, Guardians of the Galaxy. Seven, The Avengers. Eight, The Dark Knight. Nine, X-Men. And 10, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I would agree with that. And that's our collective. For me personally, I would put it above Winter Soldier.
I bet you would.
I know. I would. I think it was a better movie, for sure.
I think it's a fresher movie.
I think it's a better movie. It was a lot more exciting. It was... Winter Soldier had a lot of dull moments. In it,
this
like.
Movie started dull. You said
it,
so.
It did. I do agree.
You almost
with
fell asleep at the beginning.
No, I didn't. I was playing around, dude. I swear to God.
Oh, I know you were playing around before the movie started, but...
I didn't almost fall asleep.
You got irritated about the light.
Oh, yeah. There's a little light incident. I don't know. Forget it. It doesn't
Forget
matter.
Logan. Really high up there. One of the best comic book movies of all time to this date.
Yes, I definitely agree with that.
And we've had some great ones in the past couple years now. So, I mean, Doctor
and
Strange,
Deadpool, and this
Deadpool
one. We have some
exciting
things coming up as well.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait, guys. Guardians will be our next big discussion.
For a movie, yes.
Yes, for a movie, yeah. Iron Fist before that. Yes. Iron Fist is in 2 weeks, guys.
Yeah!
Yeah, but then, obviously, Guardians and Wonder Woman and Spider-Man and Justice League this year. There's so much.
So much, guys. There's a lot.
It's unbelievable.
So, yeah, that's all we're going to discuss on the Logan matter. We do hope you guys enjoyed, and thank you for sticking with us. You know, we just got, you know, our quick weekly spiel of follow us on social media. You know, go visit our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. You can find a link to Reality Comics, social media for nerds. Go check them out. Shout out to Nerd Variety Podcast, you know, our friends out there in Virginia. You know, just three lads having some nerd banter. It's a good time. You can find them on iTunes and Podbean.com. Shout out to our resident Sacramento streamer, Serena. Her Twitch is twitch.tv/Chistar. That's C-H-I-I-S-T-A-R. And you can also follow her on Twitter with the same name, C-H-I-I-S-T-A-R.
Yeah.
Shout out to our favorite, you know, social media interactors. You could say Jamar. Thank you so much, man. We do appreciate you always interacting with us on social media. Also, Nicholas J, dude, you are the man.
Yes.
Let me tell you, bro.
We love
loyal.
You.
I like that.
We love
another
you.
One.
Yes. And also check out our other podcast that'll be posted alongside this one. With our weekly shows and everything. You know, our weekly podcast.
Yes.
You're like, what are you talking about? We're not podcasting. Shut up. Legends of Tomorrow was off this week, I believe. I'll have to double check, but I believe. And so we'll be talking about all the other things.
Sweet. So. Can't wait. Yeah, we'll be doing that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time. So we hope you enjoyed our review of Logan. If you enjoyed our review of Logan, or us in general, please review us on iTunes and rate us so other people can find us and know that we're great.
Yes, so. That would be, it would mean a lot to us, guys.
Yeah.
You know, if you guys enjoy the content, let us know. If you guys don't, let us know. All feedback is good feedback for us.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. All right, guys. That's all we got for you guys. As always, we are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we got one so much for you, and that's
Stay Nerdy, Boys.
Did it end?